1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are labors together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. We'd teach down through it. We'd be able to rightly divide the Word of God. Use the Scriptures in our life. And, Lord, we love you. Thank you for taking such good care of us and loving us and how patient you are, Lord, as we try to grow in grace. And, Lord, for being very honest with us in the Scriptures and helping us. Lord, our goal, Lord, we want this to be our goal, is to be spiritual. We want to get our personal created being in the right order, priorities set. Lord, we want to be spirit-led. We want to be a spiritual person. We want to have a soul, a mind, a heart that has spiritual thoughts and spiritual emotions. And Lord, we want victory, and Lord, please help us with this, victory in our constant battle with the flesh. Help us to crucify it, Lord, daily, to die daily. And Lord, help it not to be the leader of our life, but Lord, please help us to be a spiritual people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. If you take some time to study the Bible, and of course we encourage this, we want you to do this. I was thinking how many churches, how many denominations, how many false religions there are that do everything and anything they can to keep their people from studying the Bible, from reading the Bible. Remember Brother Yoder that was here that gave his testimony about being saved out of the Amish community and how he was warned again and again and again not to read the Word of God. You think of Catholicism, by the way, which is the biggest cult in the world today. The biggest cult in the world today. And it is unbelievable to me what I'm seeing. Unbelievable. Pick up the paper here, the local paper, what, a month, 2 months ago, I lose track of time, and here's a group of so-called preachers, and they've got their picture taken together, and they're joining together to show support one for the other and to together launch this program, launch this campaign. And there is the pastor of a Baptist church in this county, pastor of a Baptist church in this county, being pictured and joining hands with a Catholic priest in the same picture. Has the ecumenical movement and that constant drumbeat affected you that much, my dear brother, my dear sister? That ought to make you as a Baptist angry. There'd have been a day when no Baptist preacher, let alone join them, let alone be pictured with them or join hands with them. I mean, folks, listen to me. I'm not trying to be crude or crass. It's just the Bible. But, man, Baptist people used to preach that the Catholic Church was the great whore of the book of Revelation. You know why? Because it is. Unbelievable to me what we've bought into. Unbelievable to me what Baptist people are involving themselves in. And so that was free. I love Catholic people. I've ministered to Catholic people. I've won Catholic people to Christ. I dare say, as many Catholic people to the Lord as anybody in this room, just because I was in an area of the world for a while where I was busy about it, and there were a lot of Catholics there. But I'm saying this, I love Catholic people, but I hate the false Catholic doctrine. It is damning to hell, millions upon millions upon millions of people. And, you know, so, anyway, I need to move on here. I'm going to get stuck there. But when you study the Bible and you read the Bible and you're encouraged to do that, and you're in a place where the preacher's saying, hey, he's not saying, hey, don't study it. He's saying, study it. And that's not done in the Catholic Church. They're told, hey, you know what? You come, you can't understand it. You come, let the priest tell you what it means. If they read their Bibles, they'd have a hard time finding this praying to Mary stuff. If they read their Bibles, they wouldn't find anything about baptizing their babies. If they read their Bible, they wouldn't find any mention of purgatory. If they read their Bible, they'd find out there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. If they read the Bible, they'd find out they weren't supposed to call no man father, especially if he dresses like a mother. I don't understand that, but I said I was going to get off this, amen. I'm trying. A Baptist preacher? No, he's not a Baptist preacher. He may be the pastor of a Baptist church, but he's not a Baptist preacher. Now, you know, they ought to get to know each other. You know, maybe that Catholic priest could share some stories about how his forefathers slaughtered his forefathers. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, some things will get me riled. What in the world's going on? Where are we? So anyway, you're in a good place because your preacher gets off on tangents a little bit. But we need to stand for what we are. This whole ecumenical movement, folks, makes God sick. I love this idea that it's been flowed. Can I just forget this and just go ahead and tell you what I want to say tonight? I didn't have time to study, so I'm just going to rant for a while. No, but this whole idea that five doctrines of the Bible define you as a fundamentalist. Now, who picked them five? I thought a fundamentalist, by definition, was somebody that believed in everything the Bible taught. You can't handpick five doctrines and say, if you and me believe these five doctrines together, we're all fundamentalists. Be careful for the hogwash that we're falling for. Yes, so this guy says, oh, I believe those five. I believe those five. So they join together. And this guy over here tramples on the next five. Spits on several of the other ones. Is a heretic about many of the other ones. But because he agrees in five areas, he's a fundamentalist. What in the world? Okay. As you study the Bible, one of the things you're going to find is it's a book of beautiful order. It is. It's a joy to study. Now, I want you to look at these scriptures, because we see in verse number 4, of course, we covered verse 1 through 4, this list, and we finished that last Wednesday. I'm not going to go back and redo that or review it. But the last of eight attributes of character traits of a carnal church, they're found in these verses. The last one was in verse number 4, where it says, and while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? And that, of course, is an unhealthy infatuation with human leadership. And please don't throw the baby out with the water there. You know, I want you to respect men of God, and I want you to listen to men of God and follow them according to their faith as they follow the Lord. And I think you ought to show respect. I'm not for this nonsense where, you know, I talked to a little kid the other day that went to a different church than ours, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, and I said, she said the name of the church she went to, and I said, oh, your pastor, and I said, pastor, and I said his last name, and she said, well, yeah, but I call him, and then she called him by his first name. Now, I don't want you to think I'm standing up here trying to be highfalutin. I'm not saying pastor first name, just first name. I'm not trying to be, but I'm going to tell you something. It's crazy when we would rebuke our child from coming home from the public school if they called their teacher by their first name, but we'll let them call the preacher by the first name. Now, what I'm saying is don't throw the baby out with the water. What I believe is that you ought to have a respect for God's men. I think you ought to have, I think you ought to do everything that the Bible says to do them. You listen to them. You're supposed to follow them according to their faith. You're supposed to do all the things the Bible says. But folks, you're not supposed to worship men. And there is a point in time where you get into an unhealthy, fixated fascination with one personality or a small group of personalities. That's not a healthy thing. It gets into carnality. We are to be followers of Jesus Christ. Followers of Jesus Christ. And every good preacher will be pointing you to Him. Charlatans will point you to themselves. But good men of God will point you to Christ. And so we see then, Paul then begins to develop this. Now, if I was, and I left a pen, but there's sometimes in the Bible where there's just this wonderful, what we're going to see tonight, where God gives you an opportunity to separate two things into two piles. I mean, if you were to take a piece of paper tonight, you would put a line here and a line down the middle, and over here you put God, and over here you put Apollos and Paul, and you just went through the next five verses, and everything it said about God you put on this side, and everything you said about Apollos and Paul, and that's exactly what I did in preparing for this message. God separates out the difference between Almighty God and the ministers of God. And there are some differences. Let's not get them confused. And so as we read this, I want you to try to do that mentally, because that's what the lesson's going to be. Let's divide it out. What does it say? What does Paul say through inspiration of the Holy Spirit concerning him and Apollos and who they are and what their job is? And what does he separate as only belonging to God? And so that's what we're going to look at, okay? First of all, Paul says about him and Apollos and other ministers of God, he calls them, and first of all says that they are simply ministers by whom ye believed. Ministers by whom ye believed. Now, verse number 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? But can I say this? If you write that underneath Paul and Apollos, underneath God, you could write the sender of those ministers. The sender of those ministers. Now, it's interesting what it says here, because it says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. And by the way, if you're here today and you're saved, God gave you a minister by whom you believed. That word minister, let's not get it confused, simply is the word servant. I think in this context, it could be preachers, but it could not be preachers also. Now, let me just randomly pick you out, and I want you to think so that you'll be ready, but who was it? Who was it in your life that led you to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm talking about the person that was instrumental, the most instrumental, the one that actually took the Bible, the one that dealt with you at an altar, the one that preached the message under which you got into conviction, came and received Christ. Who was that? Brother Joe, who was that person in your life? Now, you know who that was? That was a minister of God sent to win, and to be one of his jobs on earth was to get the gospel to Joe Asbury. He was sent by the Lord. And by the way, this is exciting. When you think about it, I believe something's true about every one of us. God sent somebody specifically to win us to Christ, and God has some people that he specifically wants to send us to win them to Christ. How many of you believe that that's true? I do. I believe that. I mean, who was it in your life? Brother Mike, I don't know a whole lot about your salvation story. Who was that in your life? His wife, April. Amen. I mean, are you listening to me? Now, wait a minute. That may be the minister that God used to bring you to Christ. That may be the minister God used to bring you to Christ, but keep this thought alive. There was probably some people that came along and planted before that person and watered before that person came. Are you understanding what we're doing? Brother Brian, who was that person in your life? Harold Thomas. Now, I could just about call anybody in this room. Brother Tim Sagerson, who was that person in your life? Brother Tom Daffron. All right, Brother Tom, who was that person in your life? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Hey, who's out there waiting for you to show up? Are you listening to me? Who's waiting? Oh, no, you don't understand. I'm a Calvinist. No, you're involved in false doctrines. Well, you're involved in. You're a nut job is what you are. You know what a Calvinist is? A Calvinist is a fundamentalist that's too lazy to go soul winning. Now, that's all right. You can just hear this. It's good for you. No, somebody out there is waiting. Somebody's out. Hey, this Saturday between 9:30 and 11, there may be a divine appointment. God's going to have the sinner prepared and ready. Are you going to show up? You going to show up? Somewhere along the path between when we leave here and Sunday morning, God may have for an entire lifetime orchestrated and worked in a person's life to get them to the point where they would listen, and he's going to bring you by them. Are you going to say anything? Are you going to hand them a track? Are you going to take that opportunity in the elevator? Are you going to share your testimony? Are you listening to me? This is exciting stuff. Man alive, I mean, you know, there's someone says, oh, here's young people, and you hear this preaching all the time. I want you to really listen to what I'm about to say. Some of you young people are so worried about finding the will of God that you walk right past it every day of your life. The will of God's not one single big giant thing that's way out there in the future. The will of God is something God wants you to accomplish every single day. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of wills of God for my life. And they're played out every day, a day at a time. It's not a matter of me finding the will of God. It's a matter of me living out the will of God. I mean, God had a will for me today. I either found it and accomplished it and paid attention to the Holy Spirit, was directed to it, was successful at it, or I flopped. Are you listening to me? And so it's not something that's way out there in the future. It's what happened today in your life is the will of God. Wasn't that exciting? Now, on Paul and Apollos' side, they're ministers by whom you believed. On God's side, he's the sender of those ministers. Wonder who deserves more credit. All right, number two. Paul also said this in verse number 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. On Paul and Apollos' side, you could write men who plant and water. That's who they are, men who plant and water. On God's side, you could write the giver of the increase, the giver of all increase. Are you getting this? Now let me define for you what the planting and the watering is. I don't want to just assume things. But folks, most people that get saved, I mean, I've never talked to one that this was, I've never found an exception to it. But most people that get saved go through a process where God comes to them through many individuals, a little here, a little there. And what do we mean when we're talking about sowing or planting? Then, you know, this is exciting. You know, sometimes God uses you to be the first person that ever plants the seed of the gospel in somebody's life. But can I say this? Most of the time, if that happens, you don't see them saved then. Hey, did you have a good day out visiting? You know what? There's no way to answer that question. Because there's days that you come back and you may feel like you've accomplished hardly anything. Well, I got to witness a couple people, nobody got saved. Oh, that's a bad day? That's a bad day? Why? Because God used you to plant seed. That's a good day. Well, I talked to somebody and they said that their grandmother talked to them several times and I got to share some scripture with them, but they didn't get saved. So I did. You watered. See, some people plant the seed, the initial contact, the first person that brings a person into contact with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Then from then on, that seed's there, and it's up to the rest of us as we can to splash some water on that, splash some water on that. So there's planting going on, there's watering going on. But guess who gives the increase? God gives the increase, you see. So I want you to understand that, folks. A lot of what we do in soul winning has nothing to do with coming back and saying, I won somebody to Christ. Soul winning and witnessing has a lot to do with planting and a lot to do with watering. You're going to do a whole lot more of that than you are to be in a situation where you're going to see increase. But that's just as needed. It's just as important. I mean, we could go back. And again, if we had the time tonight, I could pick some gentleman and I could say, all right, who led you to Christ? All right, now before that, who witnessed to you that didn't lead you to Christ? Who prayed for you that didn't lead you to Christ? Who gave you a tract that didn't lead you to Christ, but didn't lead you to Christ? Who was it on the job that every once in a while dropped those little, you know, mega bomb comments that kept you awake the next night? And you just kind of brushed it off like you didn't care, and they thought probably they didn't do any good, but you tossed and turned that night. Are you listening to me? Listen, folks, every word you speak for Christ is important. Well, I didn't have time to go through the whole plan of salvation. Then give them one verse. Then say one thing for the Lord. You never know what little comment is going to be water that helps that seed to begin to sprout roots. You just don't know what's going to have an effect on somebody. And testimony after testimony after testimony of men and women where they stand to their feet. Now, I'm not saying it never happens. I suppose there are times where somebody's never heard the gospel in their life. They are given it for the first time in their life. The Lord does a work of grace. They accept that. You know, but I'm going to tell you, you know, when Philip showed up in the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot, somebody already got him some of the scripture. Okay, when Paul got knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus, he already watched the powerful testimony of a dying Stephen and probably heard a lot of preaching and a lot of witnessing from men and women whom he was dragging out to prison, yet prayed for him and claimed him for Christ. You don't think he didn't toss and turn some nights? You didn't think he did some reevaluating about, am I on the right side of this or what is going on? If we're right and they're wrong, how come they're willing to die and we're not? How come we're not even willing to live for what we say we believe? I mean, you don't know. When we get to heaven, who's going to get the credit for Apostle Paul? I think it's going to be a whole bunch of people that just in the moment, in the time, in the opportunity, said something for the Lord. I mean, can you imagine him breaking into a house and the Bible says they were hailing him off into prison and expecting to be cursed and expecting to be fought, and instead have a Christian man said, "Oh, no, there's no need for violence. I'll go with you. And by the way, Saul, I want you to know something. We pray for you to be saved, and we're going to continue to pray for you to understand that the Messiah has come." I mean, who knows what kind of things he experienced before he finally recognized and received Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. I don't know. But all I'm saying is everybody that put a little water on the seed, and everybody that sowed a little seed, they're going to have a reward in this thing. All right, are you with me now? Let's keep moving. On Paul and Apollos' side, ministers by whom you believe. On God's side, the sender of those ministers. Number two, men who plant and water. The giver of the increase on God's side. Number three, oh, don't miss this. Boy, if we could get this, it would help us. Look at verse number seven. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So on Paul and Silas's, Paul and Apollos' side, number three, just write this down, neither anything. That's all you need to put down. Now just let that sink in real good. It's amazing how we kind of want to rise up against that. You know why? Because we're always wanting to be something. We are. God pity us. We are. I mean, it's just the old flesh, old pride. We always just want to be something. But the only way we're ever anything is through God and through Christ. Now folks, I'm not misreading this, am I? Are you listening to me? Are you looking at it? You got the same Bible I do? So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So on Paul and Apollos' side, you can put neither anything. On God's side, you can put everything. Amen. Well, that's a good place to get in your life. Hard place to stay, good place to get. You say, Brother Jerry, what does that mean in the Greek? It means neither anything. Now here's what we are. We're such a mess. We were saved by God. We were called by God. We were equipped by God. We were sent by God. We were provided the seed by God. We were provided the water by God. And what we sowed had to be divinely blessed by God. And God ends up being the one who performs the miracle of the increase, and then we say, look what I did. Come on now. Amen. This is good for us. You see, folks, the honest truth is, when it comes on down down to it, and I'm gonna get down to verse number 9. Notice this. I'm going to jump ahead. For we are laborers together with God. I mean, God gives us a great opportunity to labor with him, beside him, be co-laborers with Jesus Christ. But the honest truth is, folks, I don't know who you think's pulling the wagon, but it's not me or you. I don't know, Blessed Hope Baptist Church never has, in any aspect, performed a miracle. Okay, Jerry Ross never has preached a good message. Now, sometimes the Lord's taken my feeble effort and poured his blessing on them, but you know what? That's him being everything and me being nothing. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. Matter of fact, the more I get out of the way, the more he blesses. It doesn't mean that we don't work and we don't labor. That's already been established. Don't mean we don't plant, we don't water. It's just that we've got a terrible problem sometimes of when we do all of the right things and a good thing happens, then we want to step up in front of the line to get the glory that should go to God. And so we got to be careful about it. And we have to fight that all the time. Listen, I'm all for rejoicing. I'm all for testifying. You know, I tried to teach you something here a while back, and I'm not sure you got it. because I didn't teach it to you. I tried to show it to you. And we'll do it in the future. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm about the point where I don't want to have a testimony service. That's just us tonight. Oh, we got some visitors. Hey, Jody. You know, this is one of my bus kids. Let me introduce you here. This is one of my bus kids when I was in Chicago. This girl was at our wedding when she was 12 years old. She came to our wedding. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary. And so that makes her 54. She's 54 years old. Me and Cheryl's still in our 30s, but this is Jody, and this is Jenny, and this is Andy. And they came down today as our guests, and this is Naomi, right? Did I get your name right? Good. And they came down all the way from Chicago to God's country. Amen. I'm trying to talk them into moving here. And but the only problem is she's breathed that smog for so long that if we find her a place, we're going to have to build a factory beside it or something. Or just some kind of smog machine that we can, you know, let it go over their home, and that way they'll be able to. That's what they think the air smells like, and so it's good to have them. What a blessing. They drove down today. They'll be leaving after the service tonight, but it's good to have them. Now, where was I? Oh, it's just us here tonight. That's what I was saying. Oh, this is good for us. This is good for us. Be careful. Just be careful. God gives, blesses. God does something good. God does something sweet. God performs a miracle. God's blessing something you're doing. Remember, it's God doing it. God's blessing. God's blessing. Now again, that's why I detest laziness. People want to use it. Well, I think we just need to get out of the way. So what do? They go home and watch Oprah. I'm just out of the way now. I'm just, you know, we don't want to get in God's way. Some of you haven't been in God's way for a long time. It'd be good for you to get in God's way a little bit. Now, don't use this principle as an excuse not to do anything. This has been well established that God expects us to be out planting and watering. But when something happens, understand that underneath Paul and Apollos goes neither anything. And underneath God goes everything. So praise the Lord. Amen. That'll keep your bus full after it got full. You know, that'll keep God blessing you after he blessed you. And I think we sabotage our own success so many times. Now, underneath Paul and Apollos, number four, you can write this. O-N-E, one. One. Now, this is going to shock some of you. Put your seatbelt on. One. What do you mean? Well, the Bible says in verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Are how many? One. You mean the guy that planted and the guy that watered are one? Yes, that's what it says, one. And you know what that means? That means one. It'd be good if Christians just figure out we're on the same team. I just get amused. You know, every one of you that graduate from Bible college is going to be a lot better Christian after you've been out for about 10 years. I'm all for you being thankful for where you got trained. I'm a little sick and tired of you holding that thing up as the only place where God is and God blesses and everybody else is a pagan and a heathen. You know, there's no place for that in God's work. There's no place for that. By the way, let me just say this. There's no place for that in this county for Blessed Oak Baptist Church to do that. Come on, where'd my amens go? You know, it's easy to talk about these crazy people that are overly infatuated with one college, but if you're not caring, and by the way, I'm glad that I go to Blessed Oak Baptist Church. This is my favorite church in the county. I wouldn't be a member anywhere else. But you know what? There's other people that are doing things for God in this county, and we better be glad they are. Oh, but they don't. Dot every I and cross every T. And I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not going back on what I said earlier. But there's different administrations in the same spirit. A little different emphasis here and there. But you know what? God is there. And I always want to say to some of these Bible college students, you know what you ought to do? You ought to just take a summer and go visit about six other colleges and find out God's at other Bible colleges too. And there's miracles happening. There's people being saved. And there's good things happening. People are being trained for the ministry. Get off this stuff. Get off this stuff. That's unhealthy. Yeah, I hate to say this, but Clarence Sexton and Jack Scopper won. Didn't that just grind on some of you? I like it. I like that you're shifting around all nervous right now. You know, you might look around and discover that Sam Davidson and Jeff Fugit are one. Now, I know Jeff Fugit and Jack Scott's not one. That's an impossibility. But yeah, they are. And they're going to figure it out one of these days. Now, this is good for us. And you know what? You know what's just as bad and just as silly as that nonsense? People in the same part of the country can't get along. Now, again, I'm not talking about me sitting down with a Catholic because he's not my brother. I'm not talking about sitting down with somebody who's right on salvation but wrong on everything. No, I'm talking about like-minded people that for the most part staying on the same. Listen, come on, get off this thing. All right, there's a sister church down the road having a tent revival. I hope you've prayed for it every evening. I hope you, when you're driven by the church, I hope you pray that God will see some souls saved and a touch of revival would hit that church and good things would happen. Come on, get off this stuff. Now, don't go join there. let's be for each other. Let's be glad. I don't say whatever you want, but I don't get it. I don't, you know, Gene Riker's been down at Calvary for a long time. He's not a heretic. He's solid on the scriptures. He loves Jesus. And you know what? I don't go by Calvary Baptist Church without throwing up a prayer and say, God bless him and use him and God keep him safe and be with his son, John. And why don't we just decide we're going to root for each other? Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Now, steal all the Methodists you can. We want them. Amen. Win some Catholics. But you know what? If we do a little history lesson, we might understand that 100 years ago, the Methodists were the fundamentalists. Come on now. This is good for us. Yeah. You know what? God, I know this is shocking to some of you, but God used them to ignite incredible revivals. Listen, are you listening to me? Are you getting this? So we're one. He said, you know, some of you that are Paulites, they can't sit down at the fellowship at the same table with an Apollo-ite. We're one! And again, like I said last week, I'm so glad that it was Paul that was willing to say these things. Thank God for a big preacher that could have had a big head and that was used in a big way that just still saw things clearly. He wasn't worried about creating some big fellowship for him. He was worried about the stability of this local assembly. Of them keeping their eyes on Jesus Christ. Yes, of them having an appreciation for men of God that have come in and helped them and touched them and been an encouragement to them and won them to Christ. But not to the point and to the detriment where it turns into a hatred of anybody that's not them. Amen. All right, number five. Let me give you the last one. We have under Paul and Apollos, ministers by whom you believe, men who plant and water, neither anything, and one. We have under God, the sender of those ministers, the giver of the increase, everything, and the one, I didn't give you this one, number four, the one who unites and empowers the workforce. See, the reason they're one is because God is the one that provides the unity. If I'm saved and you're saved, we have the same Holy Spirit of God. Don't say we don't have anything in common. We've got the same Holy Spirit of God. And if we'd both listen to him, you'd be surprised how he'd bring us into a spirit of unity. And so this is good. Now, Paul and Apollos, number five. Number five is this. You can write underneath their name, men who will receive a reward. Isn't that encouraging? Who are these men? They are men who will receive a reward. Now look, if you will, in verse number 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now real quickly, and don't panic, this isn't a 3-point outline, but let me give you three things that this little portion of scripture says. It says, number one, the reward is sure. It's sure. Isn't that what he said? He says, every man shall. Now, you take that word and you put it in Romans 10:13, and you stake your eternal security on it. So that if that's that powerful a word for Romans 10:13, it's just as powerful a word right here. You know what you can be assured of? If you are in the planting and watering business and you're faithful to that task, you will receive a reward from Almighty God. Amen.
Amen.
And so will that other brother that you don't think you're one with. He's going to receive one too. Right, you got that? So number one, the reward is sure. Number two, the reward is personal. I like this. It says, and every man shall receive his own reward. Now, I don't even know what these rewards all entail. I understand the teachings on the crowns. I understand there's certain things that I believe we could go into the scripture and see. But I also believe that God teaches us, and this is the only place where God seems to custom design rewards. All right, you've got, let's say you got three kids, okay? You got three children. And you want to motivate those three children to do something. What will motivate one? What one would really consider a great reward, the other one would say, you're going to give me that? And you think, what? I don't want, I'm not going to, for that? Aren't we all different? Amen. Guess what? We're all still going to be different in heaven. Amen. Amen. We're going to be who we are, only in a glorified body. Okay? And so I think God knows that. I think there's going to be some things that Jesus Christ is going to give out to a reward to some servant that's going to mean unbelievable, and it's going to be very personal. It's going to be very meaningful to them because of the life that they led. I mean, Brother Brian, if you stay faithful in this ministry and you go out there and God blesses it and you continue to do it, who knows if God just doesn't say, just going to reach underneath his throne and pull out this beautiful gold hammer and just say, here you go. And you know what? If he gave me that, I'd think, where's the walnuts? But a man who spent his life doing what he's planning to do, that would be an incredible, meaningful, personal reward that represents. And I think, you know, properly rewards. You know, folks, it's not like he can give us anything that, you know, I mean, the streets are made out of gold. Food's free. You're living already in a mansion. I mean, it's not like, you know, so I don't think it's something, we think rewards, sometimes we think so much monetary. I don't know if it's that. I mean, it may not be gold. It may be an old wooden scarred up hammer. Maybe that'd be more, mean more. I don't know. But I think God is a personal God. And I think when we get to heaven one of these days, God in a very unique way, maybe in some way that no man, have you ever had somebody you wanted to honor and you're like, what do I give them? Or what can I do? What would just absolutely just bring them to tears? What would just be that thing that would just be, I mean, everybody wants to give that kind of gift, but most of us can't ever figure out what it is. Or if you're a husband, you think you know. And you'll do that for 15 years of your marriage, and then you'll give gift cards. Wake up, son. You ain't going to figure her out. Just give her a gift card. That'll make her go to tears. That's going to give her everything you've been... Yes. Because she gets to go buy something she wants instead of the junk we keep bringing home. Amen. You know, but here's the neat part. You think God has any trouble figuring that out? You think God doesn't intimately know each and every one of us? You don't think that God knows the thing that we may not even know ourselves, that when we stand before him and he hands as a reward for faithful service, that it's not going to, I mean, it's going to, I believe we'll look up and we'll say, only God, only God, only God could know.
Yeah.
Only God could know. Isn't that neat? I'm going to tell you something. I think the judgment seat is going to be a lot more fun than we have any idea. I know there's some fearful things, and I understand all of that, but I think that we fear too much over the things that we will not have to answer for because, folks, they are under the blood. Amen. I'm not sure there'll be as many tears at the judgment seat as we think. I think our tears will come at the great white throne judgment. I think there's going to be a lot of praise. And if there's tears, I think there's going to be tears of joy. I think there's going to be a lot of clapping, and I think there's going to be a lot of happiness. But folks, that, and I know this goes contrary to what, but that throne has a rainbow around it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when Noah saw the rainbow, the flood wasn't coming, it was in the rearview mirror.
Amen.
The reward is sure, the reward is personal, and don't forget this, the reward is based on labor. Now I'm going to drive this point home. I'm going to drive this point home next week when you come back, or next 2 or 3 weeks. Some people are so worried about having the right motive that they've quit working because they don't have the right motive. It's going to be based on labor. God's a very practical God. You say, you know, I'm not preaching against what Brother Derek said tonight. Motive is important. Motive is right, and you ought to have the right motive. I love the term pure motive. Baloney. If you're only going to get rewards for anything, everything that you ever did in your life for a pure motive, you won't get anything. No, let's just set it down, because the Bible says our righteousness is its filthy rags. You don't think that everything you do for the Lord, there it isn't tainted with a little bit of sinful pride, a little bit of sinful longing for earthly recognition, a little bit of an ulterior motive of some kind. Listen, we can have as pure motive as we can have as those sinful men, but if you think that everything's going to burn up at the judgment seat that wasn't done in pure motive, then it's all going to burn. And I'm going to show you something else about the verses ahead of this. I mean, okay, we'll just wait. You might be shocked when that fire happens. It'd be good for Baptist people not to just repeat things because the last 50 generations have said it, and actually study what the Scripture says. It's all right. Amen. So men who will receive a reward, the reward is sure, the reward is personal, the reward is based on labor. Let me prove it to you. Well? 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 Thou good and faithful
servant.
Wow, well done. If he's going to say well done, guess what? You had to have done something.
Amen.
He didn't say well thought.
Right.
Well intended.
Yep.
No, it's going to be okay. You planted, you watered. You stayed in the harvest. You stayed in the work. You showed up and helped clean the mission house. So it'll be a nice place for God's men they're traveling through to be. Amen. You're not always looking for a way to get out of something or an excuse why you can't do something, but you're always trying to figure out a way how you can do two more things. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Amen. 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 And so that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about reward based on labor. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. How can a man be called a servant who doesn't serve? God's not going to say you were a good servant if you weren't. Okay? God's not going to say you were faithful if you weren't. This whole idea, well, everybody stand before God and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, God's not going to lie for you. He's not going to lie for me either. Okay? So let me encourage you to be busy. Because, folks, this whole idea of rewards is sure, it's personal, but it's based on our willingness to labor in the harvest, to labor in the work of the Lord. Stay busy for the Lord. Stay busy for the Lord. Stay busy for the Lord. Now, I'll be 48 in August, and it's not time to retire from serving the Lord. Not time to say, well, you know what, we just need something to let these 20-somethings do it all, so I'll just start staying at home and hogwash. Hogwash. I mean, folks, if you haven't been to some of the work days, Pastor Ross has been to most of them. If you're physically not able to do it, God understands that. If you're just lazy, or you know what, it's amazing how much time you have to do things around your place and how little time you'll take to come and do things around God's place. I'm going to tell you right now, I'd rather be behind on jobs in my place, and my wife can testify that I am. In fact, we're going to take a little time this summer and try to do a little catch-up. You know why? For the last 2 years, I told her, for the last 2 years, everything that I fixed, everything I built that wasn't an emergency was this building out here. And I'm not saying you shouldn't keep your place up, and I've got some catching up to do, but you know what? I don't regret a second of it. If your place looks great, and it's because you weren't anywhere around here for the last 2 years, shame on you. You're doing the same thing that they did in the Old Testament, where God said, how come I'm dwelling in tents and y'all got such nice places? How come God's work always comes last on your list and not first? Listen, you're gonna be rewarded or suffer the receiving of reward based on those things. And so let's think about these things. Paul and Apollos, great men of God, good men, but men. They were ministers by whom you believe, but there was someone who sent those ministers. They were men who planted and watered, but there was somebody greater that gave the increase. They were neither anything, but there was someone that used them who was everything. They were one, but there was someone behind the scenes who was uniting them into one. And they were men who will receive a reward, but they will one day stand before a God who is the rewarder of the laborers. Now, based on what I've just given you, here's the last question, and we're done. Who in the world should we be praising? Come on, you've got the evidence. You've got five on one side, five on the other. Look at the evidence. Who should we be applauding? Who should we be uplifting? Who should we be worshiping? Who should we be infatuated with? Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple when you just study the Bible. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would use what has been said in our lives. And Lord, please, God, help us to just keep the right balance in all of these things. And Lord, we want to please you. We want to be scriptural Christians. We want to be spiritually minded. We want to make sure, God, that we've got both oars in the water pulling in the same direction. Lord, we want to stay busy, Lord, in the work of God. Now, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless. Thank you for the sweet time. It's always good to come. It's always good to study the Bible. Lord, thank you for the exhortation. Thank you, Lord, for the instruction. Thank you, Lord, sometimes the Bible even packs a little rebuke for our life. All these things are good for us. All these things are needful. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to respond properly to the Scriptures. Help us to, Lord, warm our heart to what you're trying to do in us and through us, Lord, and change sometimes around in our hearts. Help us to warm to those things. Help us to be pliable, God, pliable clay in the potter's hand. Make us and mold us into what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name.